Something wrong with a Christian who doesn't enjoy reading a love letter from God. And it's a blessing to be here. It's a real special blessing to me to be in your pastor's family, in their home. They acted like I was just part of the home. And I could go in the icebox whenever I wanted, or do whatever I wanted to do, get whatever I wanted, and it's just been a delight to be here. I enjoyed it so much. I haven't been here for a while. When I was here before, your two youngest boys were so small, and they played skip-ball with me a game. And any time that I was winning, they changed the rules. I remember that. I don't know if they remember that or not, but I remember that. They were changing the rules to their own advantage, of course. And but I certainly want to thank all of you for coming. And it's a wonderful church you have, wonderful group of young people coming up. I hope maybe God will select some of you young men to build some churches in Australia. One of the things that I see about Australia each time I come here is that so many good men who ought to be building churches in your country leave and do missionary work in other countries. And you have many towns all over this country that need a good church. And I pray that God will give you a vision for not only foreign missions, but also for home missions as well. Building some churches in places that do not have a good church at all. Tonight I am going to be speaking on economics in Bible prophecy. This is the last in a series that I've been doing. Actually, I have 12 messages that show prophecies that are now being fulfilled in our world around us. But I didn't have time to bring all 12 of them, and I asked God to help me select the ones that he would have me bring at this time. And the last one is on economics, because if you listen at all, most of the nations of the world are in trouble economically. Many businesses are closing. Many big corporations are going out of business. We have big department stores, for instance, that have gone out of business in my country. We have airline companies that have filed for bankruptcy. Others have been completely gone out of business and do not work anymore. There are places in the world where people don't have jobs. There are countries that are so heavily in debt today, they could not even pay the interest on the loans. And the world is getting deeper and deeper and deeper into economic problems. And what we want to find out tonight, is there any correlation between what's happening economically and prophecies of the Word of God about economics as the coming of the Lord approaches? And I'm going to ask you to turn to several places in the Bible tonight. The first one is the Revelation chapter 6. The Revelation chapter 6. When John was given the revelation, he saw in that revelation a book. The book had seven sections to it. Each one of them were closed by an old-fashioned seal. So the book is called the Seven Sealed Book. And each time one of the seals was broken and opened, it described a judgment of God that would be poured out upon mankind after the rapture of the church, before the coming of Christ to establish his kingdom. Many of the prophecies that are now being fulfilled today do not point to the rapture. most of all the prophecies concerning that have already been fulfilled. Most of the prophecies that we've been talking about point to the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation period to establish his kingdom on earth. And because we're even now seeing those things come to pass, that makes the rapture even more imminent. See? And I want you to notice seal number three that's contained in this seven seal book, because this particular seal has to do with economics. And you find it in verse 5 of chapter 6 of the Revelation. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Now you see the attempt of business being carried on here in this passage of Scripture. You see money involved. You see products involved. You see the selling and the buying involved. And you see a scarcity of food here in this passage of Scripture, based on the fact that it is being measured out very, very carefully on balances. All of that says that there will be a time when economics will become more serious than they even are today. Yet today there are nations such as my nation that is so heavily in debt that my great-great-grandchildren will never get the debt paid off. That's how bad it is. We're not talking about thousands of dollars. We're not talking about millions of dollars. We're talking about trillions of dollars, if you can imagine such a thing. If any of you have got trillions of dollars, I'd like to come over to your house and just look at it. See, must have an awful big house. The question as we approach this subject arises, will money lose its value and its buying power? Because prophecy tells us the day will come when no matter how much money you have, it will only buy a starvation diet. So riches won't mean anything in that day. When I was a young man, I thought $100 was a lot of money. That was a fortune to me. Nothing now, is it? Most people could not live off the interest of the money they had when I was a boy, because the interest rates are so low. So money is losing value. I travel all over the world and I change money. And I notice how money is losing value and prices are going up for the products, even though you get less money when you buy the money at the commissary or wherever you buy it. You get less money for your money and you pay more for the products than you used to. Now that's happening all over the world, because I go to about 14 countries a year and I have to change money constantly as I do that. Will prices ever go beyond the reach of most of society? It's hard for us to sit in a prosperous country like yours or mine and imagine places in the world today where the majority of the population do not have enough money to eat well. Yet most of the world, most of the third world, is in that condition. I preach often in countries where people do not eat well. I preach in places where people do not make enough money. I have been in one place in Africa where they make an average of $100 per year. Per year. They have to grow their own food or they starve. And if their crops are destroyed by some disaster, whether it be weather or insects or whatever it be, they don't eat. And they starve. I heard on the news from the United Nations that every 24 hours, 40,000 babies die of starvation right now in our world. 40,000 babies starve to death every 24 hours. Doesn't count the adults that are starving to death. Doesn't count the teenagers that are starving to death. Just the children in very poor countries of the world. The great tragedy is that in those, in our first world countries, we send great supplies of food and aid and medical assistance to those poverty-stricken countries, only to have the government of those countries confiscate the food and sell it to another country, stick the money in the politician's pocket, and let their people starve to death. Now that's what's going on in the world you and I live in. That's the real world that you and I seldom get to see. I've seen people starving to death. They were so far gone that even if I tried to buy them some food and feed them, they could not eat the food. They're too far gone. Their stomachs are bloated and they are near death. Will there come a day when there'll be a worldwide depression? And if money loses its value, and if the price of things go out of the reach of the average citizen, and if there does become a worldwide depression, why does God let it happen? Now that's the question that I'm going to try to answer from the Word of God tonight. You see, these are things that are happening because we are coming down to the end of the world, and it's not getting better, it's getting worse. The end of the world comes with the return of Christ to establish his kingdom. And the world as we know it is going to stop, going to be dissolved. The kingdoms are going to be destroyed. He's going to set up his own kingdom. And as the day nears for that to happen, there will be effects upon world economics. Now there's a reason why God allows these things to happen to the economic situation of the world. In the prophecies of Daniel, the king goes to bed one night and he has a dream. He wakes up the next morning and he can't remember his dream and he don't know what it means. I had an experience like that one time. I had a dream that it was my birthday. I was just a boy. Well, now, in my country, on your birthday, you get to have a party. The other kids get to come to your house. You have ice cream and cake and all that good stuff, you know. And you get presents from all your friends. If they're really your friends, they come and they bring you presents. Well, I remember in my dream, I could see this big cake. I could see the ice cream. I could see all the kids sitting around the table with me. I could see over here a table packed with gifts. And just about the time we were to eat the cake, I heard my mother say, "It's time to get up, son, and go to school." Right in the middle of my dream. My mother woke me up. Can you imagine such a horrible thing? I tried to go back to sleep and pick it up so I could have the ice cream and cake and look at my gifts. Just doesn't work. Once the dream is ended, that's it. Well, the king had a dream and he couldn't remember what it was, but it was a prophecy. And I haven't got the time to talk about the whole prophecy, but I can tell you this, it was a great image, and you go from the top to the bottom to understand what the prophecy is all about. Now, down at the bottom, the feet have 10 toes on them, and the 10 toes are a mixture of iron and clay. I personally believe that is a mixture of the kind of governments that are now being established all over the world, because that's where we are, I believe, down on the toes of the image, prophetically. And we're forming now governments on earth called social democracies. I don't know if you understand those two philosophies or not, but they're like iron and clay. They don't mix. They make for a very unstable government, see. And that's what we've got today. We've got unstable governments. And because we have unstable governments, those governments are spending and spending and spending and borrowing and borrowing and borrowing and getting their nations into economic trouble and disaster. See. And nobody has the answer. They just borrow more money to pay the interest on the money they've already borrowed. They just keep getting in trouble deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, for a long time, many Bible scholars thought that the 10 toes represented 10 kingdoms. But recently something happened that made me rethink that. I don't know if you realize what's happened in our world, but we now, by the economic world, have been divided into 10 economic zones. The whole world is divided into those 10 economic zones. Now, Australia and Asia are in one of those zones. See. The Americas are in another one of those zones. There's 10 of those. I can tell you this, if you look at those 10 financial zones, they are all in trouble today. They are all horribly in debt. They're trying to figure out what to do. The euro is beginning to fall apart. And already now there is a world currency being suggested, and some say it's already being printed. It will be the world currency of the Antichrist. We're talking about how soon Jesus may come based on these things. Now, in the past, we can look and see why God let economic trouble happen. For instance, I'm going to take you to the book of Haggai in the Old Testament. Now, that's a little book, and it's only got a page or two. But I want you to find it. It's just before Zechariah in the Old Testament. Just before you come to Zechariah. And Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. So go Malachi and keep going back to Zechariah. And all of a sudden you're going to come to a couple pages, Haggai. And I want you to see something very important here. This is part of the answer. Why does God let economic disaster come? Why doesn't he do something to bolster up the economics of the world? Why doesn't he do it? Well, I believe there's an answer here. And we're going to look in Haggai chapter 1. And we're going to start reading in verse 5. Now, therefore, this is one of the prophets, by the way. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts. So we know immediately who's talking. God's talking. Notice what he says next. Consider your ways. He's talking to the nation of Israel. He's saying, I want you to stop and think about the way you're living. That's what he's saying. Because of the way you're living, this is what I'm going to allow to happen to your nation. Verse 6, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to be put into a bag with holes. Your money disappears. Somebody else gets everything you make. There's holes in your money bag. See. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 7, consider your ways. Two times now he has said this. I want you to know why you sow much, but you get little. I want you to know why you eat, but you don't have enough. I want you to know why you drink, but you're still thirsty. I want you to know why you have clothes, but there's not enough of them on you to keep you warm. I want you to know why you earn wages and they suddenly disappear like a bag that has holes in it. I want you to know. And the way you're going to figure this out, Israel, is to consider your ways. See, God considers our ways. He looks down and sees how we're living. Our problem is that we don't see how we're living. We don't come to the reality of it. We continue, verse 8, go up to the mountains, bring wood, and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Here's what God wanted Israel to do. He wanted them to build the house of God. These were the instructions. Verse 9, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. God just said, I blew your income away. Didn't amount to anything. Didn't go anywhere. Didn't buy anything. Why? Why did God blow on their money? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. You're all building your own house. You're all looking after your own welfare. You're only thinking of yourself and living for the moment and living what you can get, and you're not building my house, he said. So you're going to sow, but you're not going to reap much. You're going to have clothes, but you're still going to be cold. You're going to eat, but you still have an empty stomach. You're going to make wages, but they're going to disappear fast like falling through the holes of a money bag. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. I'm going to send a drought. And I call for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth unto men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of thy hands. Here is an economic crisis that was described as happening to the nation of Israel when the nation of Israel was instructed by God, build my house, build a place where we can worship, where you can meet with me, where I can meet with you. And instead of doing that, they ignored the house of God. They let it lay waste and they ignored the Lord. They turned their back on God. They went out after their own interest. They lived for the moment. They lived for today. They got whatever they could get and they were never satisfied. They wanted more and more and more. And God said, I'm going to take it all away from you. Economic crisis came because they forsook God. And they forsook his house and they lived for self. Now we say we're having a great economic crisis worldwide today. If you look at the world, how interested is the world in God? How interested is the world in God's house? What percentage of the Australian people were in the house of God today? What do you have in your country? How many million people? 35 million? 20 million? How many of those people were in the house of God today? Were there more on boats than there were in the house of God? In my country, how many were in the house of God today in comparison to how many were out in sporting events, filling the sporting arenas, watching all kinds of athletes accomplish hardly anything? It's amazing to watch soccer. Do you ever watch soccer? They run back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and kick and jump and holler and scream. And the audience is going wild. And at the end of the game, the score is 0-0. Nothing was accomplished. Unbelievable. All the millions of dollars that are spent to see an event that accomplishes 0-0. Unbelievable. How many people were in the house of God today of the 6.5 billion that populate the earth? You would be shocked. See? So no wonder an economic crisis is coming upon society. We've slapped God in the face again, just like they did in the days of Haggai the prophet. Well, it affected the shortage of food. It affected wages. They were devalued. The rain from heaven was withheld so that no product could be produced from the earth, affecting the food, the wine, affecting the oil production. All of that was affected here because of man's rebellion against God. As the coming of Jesus Christ gets closer, the rebellion, the coldness, the indifference of the world increases, and with it, you're going to naturally have economic disaster. Because when God withdraws his blessings, a nation is in trouble. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. And when you turn from the Lord, he stops the blessings and you get in economic trouble real quick. And you won't have the solution. The markets of the world won't have solution. The stock markets are all now so tied together by this 10-zone economic thing that when one goes down, they all go down. And the stock markets of the world now are the world's largest gambling casino. I wouldn't put a penny in it. Rather put my money in the Lord's hand and let him bless me and take care of me. Well, let me show you another example of how this works. Go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. Here's another prophet speaking out. In the 16th chapter of Ezekiel, I'm going to show you now another economic disaster and why it occurred. We begin with verse 25 of Ezekiel chapter 16. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to everyone that passeth by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. Now there's strong language here in this passage of scripture, and it's all spiritual. It's talking about spiritual whoredoms, spiritual adultery, which means they forsake God to start worshiping other gods. See, that's what they're doing. He says here, verse 26, thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. They went after the gods of Egypt. They went after the pleasures of Egypt. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee and have diminished, listen to this, and have diminished thine ordinary food and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unstable, yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldest not be satisfied. You were never satisfied, no matter how much you had. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornications in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord, seeing thou dost all these things, the work of an impoverished, whorish woman, in that thou buildest thine eminent places in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot, in that thou scornest hire, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. They gave gifts to all whores, but thou gavest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredoms. What he's talking about here is that they have been unfaithful to God, like a wife would be unfaithful to her husband, and they've gone after other gods. That's what he's talking about. This angers God. He's not going to settle for this. And the ordinary in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms, and in thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee, therefore thou art contrary. Now, let's go on. Here's that. There's the condition. What's God going to do about it? What's going to happen to this society because of the way they have forsaken God and gone after other gods? I don't know if you realize it or not, but there used to be a time when there were countries that proudly said, we are a Christian nation. We have one God, the God of the Bible. And now those nations have many gods, they accept many gods, and those nations are beginning to get into economic trouble. See, it's not an accident. Listen to verse 35. Wherefore, in other words, because of the conditions we have just read, wherefore, O harlot, that's what he calls this nation, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations. By the way, their idols were their other gods, and the Bible says an idol is nothing. So when you have another god, you have nothing. You worship nothing. And by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them, they even sacrificed their children unto gods that don't exist. Behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved with all them that thou hast hated, and I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness, and I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy, and I will also give unto thee their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. You talk about economic disaster, there it is again. Their food diminishes, just their ordinary food. That doesn't mean the fancy expensive meals. They don't even have that. They don't even have the ordinary poor man's diet now. It's gone. Because of their rebellion against God to worship other gods. They are delivered into the hands of the enemy. Verse 37. In verse 39, they suffer the loss of life's basic needs. So here are two societies I'm giving you as an example tonight of what happens when people disobey God or forsake God for other gods, economic disaster is permitted to happen by God. Now, we look at them. Now let's look at ourselves. Let's look in the mirror. Today, we have learned nothing from the past. The world you and I live in has learned absolutely nothing from the past. Our world is full of idolatry. We worship false gods, many false gods. Millions of people worship the God of Allah. Others worship Buddha. Others worship some other god. Others worship sticks and stones and trees and mountains. We had a shark attack a woman in Hawaii and bite her body right in two. So the government of Hawaii, that depends heavily on tourism, called for a shark killer on the mainland to come and hunt down that shark and kill it. When the plane landed and that man got off the plane, he was met by the Hawaiian people, the real full-blooded Hawaiian people. And they looked at him and they said, "You kill our God, we kill you." He got back on the plane and went back home. See, Pele, the goddess of fire, spews its lava out on the big island of Hawaii constantly. And when it does, the mayor of Hilo takes vegetables and fruit and offers them as an offering to Pele, the goddess of fire. All over the world, you have similar things going on where people today are forsaking the God of the Bible. I mean, governments are forsaking the God of the Bible. Politicians are forsaking the God of the Bible. Educators are forsaking the God of the Bible. Religious organizations are forsaking the God of the Bible. And no wonder we're having economic problems. No, Allah's not going to pay your bills for you. Buddha's not going to help you out. You need God to help you. And if you've forsaken him, if you as a society has slapped him in the face, he's not going to open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings down upon a people. I tell you, we're headed toward the greatest depression, an economic disaster the world has ever known, according to the revelation that I read, where you cannot even buy a starvation diet, no matter how much money you make. We are committing the same sins these societies committed: idolatry, immorality. We now brag. We are now proud of our immorality. We flaunt it. We advertise it. We glamorize it. We publicize it all over the world. It walks down the street, enticing us. It comes across the televisions. It's in the printed page everywhere. Sodomy is covering the face of the earth tonight. The murder of the unborn happens on a moment-by-moment basis all over the world. We are beginning to suffer the same judgments from God. Worldwide money is losing value. Worldwide loss of homes. Last year, I was flying out of Europe, out of Germany, into London. I had still overnight to get my connection to get back to the United States. I got in the hotel room in London and turned on the television, and it was a newscast. And they were interviewing people who had just lost their homes in England. This is just last year. And what they had done is they had bought homes and they had borrowed money to buy those homes at what you call variable interest loans. I don't know what you do here in your country, but a variable interest loan means it can go up. The interest rate can go up over the period of the loan, or it can go down. I got news for you. It never goes down. And those people bought those homes, and the interest rate began to rise so dramatically and so high that the people could no longer make their payments. So they thought, well, what we'll do is we'll sell our home and pay off the mortgage. When they went to sell the home, they found out that the home had devalued to its value 30 years ago. So they couldn't even sell it for enough to pay off the loan. And they ended up having their homes repossessed out on the street. Not only does that happen in England, it happens in the United States. And I'm sure if you'll check it out, it's probably happened right here in your country. It's happening all over the world, you see. That's one of the reasons a Christian should stay out of debt. And whatever you do as a Christian, don't borrow money on a variable interest. Get a fixed interest loan, and so that you know it's the same monthly payment throughout the course of paying back the loan. See, it's, you know, sometimes we do real foolish things like building New Orleans below sea level right at the Gulf. Now that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? You build a whole city right at the Gulf, right at the ocean, below sea level. And then you wonder why the hurricane comes through and floods the whole place. See, real intelligent. That's what I say. Dogs are more intelligent than we are. They wouldn't do that. Animals wouldn't do that. See. So, worldwide prices are going to go out of reason. I go to Europe every year. Go to Romania, go to Moldova, go to Hungary and Croatia to minister. And normally, 2-3 years ago, when I am with missionaries and with pastors, I buy the gasoline for them. They don't make a lot of money over there. And so they're driving me all over to preach at all these places. And so we pull into a what you call a petrol station, and we fill it up. Well, it usually costs me about $30 to fill up a tank. Last year, it cost me $70 to fill up that same tank. And in Romania, it cost me 1,100,000 lei to fill the gas tank one time. So that's over $100. That was over $100. 2 years ago, it cost me about $30. So, you know what's happening? Cars are sitting, rotting. They can't afford to drive them. They're losing their cars because they borrowed money to buy them, and now they can't pay off the loans. And if they could pay the loan, they haven't got enough money to put in the petrol in the thing to keep it running. That's happening right now, folks. I paid that in Europe for gasoline. In one place I paid $90 for one fill. In another place I paid $75 for one fill, where 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I was paying $30 for that same fill. I'm telling you, there is a worldwide crisis coming that God is permitting, and it is telling us the end is coming. Jesus is coming soon. You say, how bad is it going to get, preacher? Let me show you. I'm glad you asked. In the Revelation chapter 6, I read to you that there's going to be a drought, there's going to be a food shortage, there's going to be money devalued. The food that's going to be available will be carefully measured out, and only a small portion of food will be sold to each person that can afford to buy it at the high prices. Going to be balances, going to be weighed out. That's coming. We're headed in that direction now. Then I want you to go to the 18th chapter of the Revelation and see how this progresses. In the 18th chapter, it says here, this is a great society, this is a great empire that's in existence today. Its headquarters is in Rome. And one of these days, it is prophesied to completely crumble. And here's what's going to happen when it crumbles. Verse 8 of chapter 18. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her. There's going to be a collapse of this kingdom. A collapse of this kingdom will result in economic disaster. Listen to it. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, is saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. So now the kingdom of Rome, as it falls, is going to affect all these other kings, all these other kingdoms. Not only is it going to affect nations and governments, but look at the next thing. Economics comes into view. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. They're out of business. Economic crisis. That's coming. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and thynine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and on and on and on it goes. All of it out of business. All of it bankrupt. No more. The economic collapse is very obvious here in this passage of Scripture. Let me show you something else that's coming. This will be in the tribulation period after Jesus takes the believer away, but it points to his return to establish his kingdom. What we're seeing right now are just the beginnings. It is beginning to fulfill Bible prophecy to see the whole world, nation after nation after nation, crying that they're in economic disaster. In the 13th chapter of the Revelation, listen as I read verse 15. Here is the Antichrist who will rule the world during this time. He hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. A forced religious system under penalty of death. And he causeth, notice, all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. There's coming a day when this economic crisis will get so bad that you, unless you have the mark of the world leader on your hand or your forehead, you won't be able to buy and you won't be able to sell, no matter how much money you have. You say, well, is something like that even hinted now? Well, my wife went to the grocery store some time ago. She was lined up to check out her food and pay her bill. There was a lady in front of her, and she was getting her food all taken care of, and when the lady told her how much her food bill was. You know the little scanners that they scan now in the stores? She put her hand out and she said, "Scan my hand." And underneath her skin was a chip that had been put in there. And he gave her bank account. And she said, "Just deduct it from my bank account." A chip underneath her skin on her right hand. It's already being practiced in some places. And she said, my wife said, "What is that?" And she said, "Well, I'm one of 1,500 in this area that they're experimenting on with these chips underneath our skin." And the Antichrist can put a chip under your skin so that you can't buy or you can't sell. He'll track every step you take. He'll know every thought you think. He'll know every place you go. And you will not be able to escape his presence because he'll have total control over you, and you won't be able to buy or sell or anything else if you don't have that mark on your hand or on your forehead. It's already in some areas being practiced now. And the banks of the world are working very hard toward a cashless society so that you have to do everything by a card, sticking it in a machine. Total control. So my friends, this is not a message of gloom and doom, but it is a warning, flashing sign from Almighty God that the severe economic problems of the past, God permitted, the severe economic problems that the world now seems to be headed for is permitted by God, and it's going to get worse as the end of the world comes and the coming of Jesus Christ gets near. Now the great question is, will man take the warning from God? And will man turn to God from his sins and repent? That's the big question today. Now, we can't answer for the whole world, but everybody here is going to have to answer for yourself. Will I turn to God and stop trusting in the economy? Will I stop trusting in money? Will I stop living for what I can accumulate? Because no matter how much you accumulate, the day's coming when it'll have no value whatsoever. The greatest riches in the world that can never be diminished or taken away is the riches of the grace of God when you receive Jesus as your Savior. You can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and not have one bond or one piece of stock. You can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and not even have a bank account, not even have a credit card, not even have a dollar in your pocket. You can receive Jesus as your Savior absolutely broke, and he'll give you eternal life. He'll give you a home in heaven. He'll give you forgiveness of sin. He'll give you escape from hell absolutely free. Can't ask for a better deal than that. Have you received that? Are you living for Christ today? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What would God accept? Absolutely nothing. Let's bow together for prayer. Tonight, our Father, we come to thee in Jesus' name. We've looked at many things that are now happening in the world, and it seems quite clear from thy word that you're telling us that these are warning signs that we're running out of time. I pray that we as God's people will realize the urgency of the hour and redeem the time. Buy up every opportunity to serve the Lord, to live for the Lord, and to make him the only God of our life. And I pray that those who are without Christ even though they be religious or even church members, will realize the urgency of being in Christ, the only place of safety from the troubles and the wrath ahead and the judgment of an eternal God. In Christ Jesus is where they must be. Help them to put their faith in him and receive him as their Savior. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing an invitation hymn as we stand together.